Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me rather say, dear fellow missionaries, dear fellow witnesses, what a marvelous pair of texts these two are. That confrontation between the Lord and Isaiah, and how it transformed Isaiah. And then seeing Philip on that road, open to the Spirit of God, ready to be that witness. We look particularly at the Isaiah text this morning, and we start with the idea that Isaiah is in the temple, and he sees the Lord. And I guess the question for each of us this morning is, do we see the Lord? Not only here, but do we see him throughout our life? This came into sharp focus for me some time ago. About 2 months ago, I was getting on a plane in Fort Wayne to go to Chicago. I came down the aisle. I saw a young lady on one side, and that was my seat. And you know how we Americans are. Sometimes we think, well, there's an open seat on the other side. Let her have her privacy. I'll have mine. But I felt I'll take the seat that was assigned to me. I sat down next to her, probably about 30 years old. In a moment, we greeted each other, and she told me that she was a research consultant that traveled all over the United States gathering data for important firms for their marketing. And she said, "Who are you?" And I've grown accustomed to saying, "Well, I'm a missionary." And she said, "That is really interesting. I've been looking for someone like you to talk to. In fact, I've been searching about spiritual things, and I have no place to find the answer." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, "You know, I've been having a recurring dream. It happens at least every week. And it's the same dream I had when I was a little girl at about the age of 12. And she had told me by that time that her name was Erica. I said, "Erica, what is it?" She said, "Well, I dream that an angel is coming into my room, and the angel has a basket full of fruit and brings it to me, and the thing that puzzles me is that I always choose the lemon." Erica was one of our boomers, some 80 million of them in our country today. She was interested in things spiritual. The Holy Spirit had prepared her really to hear who the Lord was and to see the Lord. You know, you and I have seen that Lord. We've seen that stone that's rolled away. We've seen that empty tomb. We know our Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is for us. And yet we know also, just like with Erica, and it came out in our conversation, that sin still clings very much to us. We're not living in paradise. Our life still does kill the Prince of Peace. And it reminds me a little bit of Peter at Pentecost. After he'd preached that tremendous sermon and he had told the Jews, "You people have killed the Prince of Peace," they said, "What shall we do?" You remember those words, "Repent and be baptized. Your sin will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yes, we all have seen the Lord. Our salvation is complete. Our victory is won. And as we look now at our text in verse 5, we see it summarized so well. "There's no hope in me, even though the victory's won. There's no hope for me. I'm doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful, and I live among a people whose every word is sinful. And yet, with my own eyes, I've seen the King, the Lord Almighty." We are very much like Erica, even though we know our Lord Jesus Christ. But then comes this beautiful verse 6 and 7, one that I shared with Eric in a few minutes, the ones that say, "Then one of the creatures flew down to me, carrying a burning coal that he'd taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with that burning coal, and he said, 'This has touched your lips, and now your guilt is gone, and your sins are forgiven.'" The lips stand for the whole of us. It's a synecdoche, as we call it. It means that the whole of us has been touched by that forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only our lips, but particularly during this Mission Congress, we think about our lips, but all of us, our heart, our mind, the freedom from the guilt that's there, the propensity for sin, it's all gone. And now a desire to serve our Savior comes in. The love of Christ constrains us. And we begin to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit reveals all truth about God to us. John 14:26 tells us, it teaches you everything. It brings everything to your remembrance. 1 John 4:4, and I believe this is particularly relevant for our time. I know it was for Eric. The Spirit of God in you is more powerful than the Spirit that is in this world. God has cleansed away our sins. And having cleansed away our sins, He has a purpose for us. God says, I would have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Our Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And on a day like this, we remember particularly Romans 10, where it says, whoever calls to the Lord will be saved, even in Erica on the plain. But how can we call on Him if we haven't believed in Him? And how can we believe if we haven't heard? And how can we hear unless someone is sent? And that's what it was. I began to talk to Erica, and I said to her, have you ever tried reading your Bible? Have you ever gone to church? And she said, you know, my parents never did take me to church, and I really never knew what the Bible was, but during my trips, I've been picking these Bibles up in the hotel, and I've tried so often, I started to read from the first page, and I get through that first book, and she tried to pronounce it, and she could hardly pronounce it, and I said, you mean Genesis? She said, yes. She said, I never seemed to be able to go further. And then I said, well, let's look at some of it together. So I took my Bible out, and we started with John 4. I don't know why I opened it, John 4, the woman at the well. And as we went through the story, and it came to the five husbands, she said to me, that is me. That is me. I've been like that too. And I found us getting toward Chicago, and I moved back into John 3 and was able to share with her those beautiful words from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And then I spoke to her about starting with that Gospel of John and getting connected with a congregation. And you know what put it all in focus for me? There are millions, millions of people right in our own communities like Erica. It's almost unbelievable to us who've grown up in the Christian church. People who have not been in church, people who have not been introduced to the Bible, people even in our land who have not heard of the Lord Jesus Christ in an effective way. And so as we think on this text from Isaiah, we remember Philip. Along the road he went, and when the Holy Spirit called him, he did not demur. He went to the carriage, he sat down next to the man, and he opened the Scriptures from the place that it was and took him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord give us that kind of boldness as we go from here, that when we get on the plane, we do sit down next to the Erica. We do start from the place where she is, or where he is, or where they are, and take them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We become proactive and bold like Peter and John were. In Acts, it tells us that it was boldness that they prayed for, those early Christians. And it was the Holy Spirit who gave that boldness. And I'd like for you just for a moment to stand, that we together may pray for that for ourselves too. Dear God and Father, we remember Peter before the council. It says that he was empty of himself, and yet we know that he was filled with the Spirit of God. And God did teach him what to say and bring all those wonderful words of Scripture to his remembrance, and he confessed his faith. And then, Lord, when he came out to the people, they prayed for that kind of boldness. And God answered that prayer. We pray, O Lord, that that may be true of us, that we may see you as Isaiah did, that we may recognize that our lips have been touched, that our sins have been forgiven in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we receive at the sacrament of the Lord's Supper every time the remembrance of that, his true body and blood. Dear Lord, give us boldness too. Give us boldness in this seminary. Give those of us who are leaving again from this seminary after this wonderful time in the Congress to go into the congregations, boldness that we will share these things, especially the name of Christ in our family, in our community, in our congregation, and throughout our world. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace and the power of God's Holy Spirit go with you. Amen.